trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way is clear, praying, if the path be drear, if in danger for Him call, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him till earth be past, till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting Him whatever befall, trusting Jesus, that is all.
Amen.
This morning I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 1 verse 1 reads this way. It says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren." Then if you would drop down to verse 5, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again, Lord, for the privilege of assembling together, and then once again being reminded that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence this morning. We ask that you would bless your word to our hearts and minds, that you would give us your wisdom and understanding, and that, Lord, truly we would worship you in spirit and in truth to your honor and glory and to our blessing, and we'll give you all the praise. Again, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Lineage of Godly Fathers. The Lineage of Godly Fathers. And let me ask you to turn over to the book of Ruth, if you would, the Old Testament book of Ruth. And we're going to pick up in chapter 2. And while you're turning over there, I want to just again remind you that God's concerned about our lineage. He wants us to have a relationship with Him, and you never really know what God is doing in the lives of our families. He's got a plan for each and every one of us, and that is, of course, to start off with a relationship with Him. But then in eternity past, he created each and every one of us with a purpose. Remember, he told several times in the scriptures, it's talked about how God had planned things even before the foundation of the world. He purposed for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and die on our behalf, because God knew that mankind was going to stray away from him, sin, and fall away from him, really. And God loved mankind so much that he sent his son to take our place, that he might give us his righteousness, and because we don't have a righteousness that would stand before the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that our righteousness before God, the best that we could do, are as filthy rags. They're undone because it's been marred by sin. Now, that's not really anything to be offended at. That's just the truth of the matter. I mean, for example, if you had a glass of water, how much dirty water would you allow in that water before you would say, okay, I don't think I want to drink that? Right? I mean, especially if it came from something that was pretty filthy and dirty, I don't think I'd want one drop of that. I'd say, you know, it might look clear, but the stuff that drop that fell in there was not. Amen. And so likewise, our righteousness before the Lord because of sin has marred everything that we do now. But God says, I'm going to give you mine. Through my son, I'm going to take your place that you might have my righteousness. And the only thing we need to do is put our faith and trust in me, right? That's what the Lord said. And so we find that lineage right here of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth was somebody who was a Moabitess. She was not of the people of God, but her mother-in-law, Naomi, was coming back. She lost her sons. The other, Orpah, did not follow Naomi and Ruth. She stayed back. And by the way, Ruth encouraged her. She said for both of them, go home back to your fathers and to your families, because she was older now. And she said, I have no more children. And if I did have a child tonight, would you wait for them till they were ready to be married? And of course, the answer was no. There was no way. But Ruth said, you know what? Your people are going to be my people. I've seen something in you. You have a relationship with God that I want to have. I'm not willing to let that go. And so she followed Ruth, and we'll take a look at that here in just a moment. But ultimately, Ruth did not know it. Naomi did not know that Ruth was going to be the lineage that God chose to bring forth his son. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Who knows what God has in store for those that love him? In fact, the Bible says it hasn't even entered into our minds. So this morning, as we consider this, let's look at some thoughts here. Three biblical observations, basically. The first one is God's plan for those who trust the Lord. We want to see what that is. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Secondly, the visible attributes of those who trust the Lord. There's a difference that God makes in our lives because we've learned to just simply trust the Lord, and he takes over and does a great work. Then thirdly, the great reward and joy that is given to those who trust in the Lord. So look with me, if you will, in Ruth chapter 2. Look at verse 1 and notice God's plan for those who trust him. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Now, remember this, Ruth had no idea where she was going, and Naomi had no idea where Ruth was going. Verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess, and by the way, the Moabites were an ungodly people, right? And yet, look what God does. Some people get things confused. God is holding his arms outstretched for everybody to come to him. He rejects no one. Nobody goes to hell by accident. They have to reject and jump over every barricade that God has laid out. And I know that because, listen, but for the grace of God, I would be lost and undone and not have eternal life. I did not grow up in church, but I praise the Lord for at a young age, 24 years old, opening up my eyes to see my need. And you know what? God has been faithful since the first day I trusted him as my Savior. He has never let me go out of his hand. Now, I will tell you this. Sometimes we feel like maybe he's lost sight of us, but as I look back, I can tell you every time, even when I felt like maybe he's forgotten about me, he held me and holds all of us in his hand. So look at verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. After him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now, Naomi and Ruth, they had a great relationship. I mean, here's one thing that you knew for sure. Naomi loved Ruth, and Ruth loved Naomi. And they had this great relationship. Of course, now, if you remember, Naomi's coming back, and she says to them, when they say, is this not Naomi? And she said, call me Mara, because, boy, I have sorrow and bitterness. I have lost everything. I've lost my husband. I've lost my two sons. And her daughter-in-law came back with her. But anyway, she thought it was all over. She thought she was done, and there was nothing left of her life. And she did not realize that the best was yet to come in her life. Getting ready to get started here. So verse 3 says this, and she went, speaking of Ruth, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap. That means, you know, I just happened. But see, nothing just happens. God plans everything out. God's in control. Now, he does give us the freedom to make choices. And that's why, really, it's not God's will that sin would prevail, that wickedness would prevail. That's a device of mankind. That's something that we have allowed. And I don't understand it. I'll be the first one to tell you. God is sovereign over everything. And yet he allows things to happen in our lives. But here's the truth. He tells us that all these things will work together for our good and his glory. If we'll trust him, we can walk in that confidence. And even when the bad things happen, you know, God is allowing us to be more dependent on him and to see things as really the first thing that happens in the life of an individual when things don't go our way. When somebody's upset, what are they saying? You shouldn't be treated that way. I shouldn't be treated this way. We've got our rights. Well, listen, boy, who was it who put life on planet Earth? Amen. Who was it that created everything and has given to us life? And then on top of that, not just a physical existence, but the opportunity to trust the Lord and have an eternal existence with him. And so here's Naomi coming back. She's lost everything. Her daughter-in-law is going out to get food, and the Bible says there in verse 3 that she just happens to light on part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. This was the lineage of her father-in-law. So let me ask you this question. Do you think that was an accident in the mind of God? Do you think God saw that Ruth was willing to follow Naomi back to Israel? Do you think that God heard when Ruth said, thy people shall be my people and thy God shall be my God? Do you think that honored the Lord? And do you think that God is ever slack in his word when he says, those that honor me, I will honor? See, that's the part of faith. We just need a little bit of faith to honor the Lord. The first way that we honor him is we say, you know, and by the way, God's got to open up our understanding. Lord, I am lost. Your word tells me that my sins have separated me from you, but that you made a sacrifice for me in giving me your son. Isn't that amazing? Which one of us would give up the life and allow it to be taken of one of our children for our best friend? I'm sorry, you're going to be in trouble for the rest of your life, because I'm not giving up the life of one of my children. And the Bible says that God did it for those, which is all of us, that were at enmity. There was a division because of sin, because something that was done wrong. And so God had really, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that little word so means you can't even describe how much God loved the world, that he gave us his son. So she's falling on this field that happens to belong to a kindred relative, and she doesn't even know it. And then notice what happens here. And again, God is guiding Ruth into his will, because she honored the way of the Lord. And so likewise, God will do that. God is not a respecter of persons. Do you believe that? Everybody who seeks to honor him, he will honor them. So verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. So he's talking to the people that he's got a farm. Remember, he was a mighty man of wealth. And so he's got these farms and he's got these reapers and they're working. And I want you to see the spirit, the attitude of Boaz here. And by the way, these are the attributes of those who trust the Lord. God begins, listen, if we're really following the Lord, we realize how big he is and how small and insignificant we are. And God's got to give us that revelation. And God is worthy of what? Everything, is he not? He's worthy of everything. You could not have told me that as a young person because I was looking out for number one, and that was me. I didn't really care. Oh, I believed there was a God. I did, but he worked and he thought the same way I did. I'm not a bad person. I deserve heaven. I've never killed anybody. I've never really robbed anybody. When I was a kid, I took a little Hot Wheels car from Grand Union Grocery Store in North Miami Beach, Florida. And here's how I did it. I said, I really want that car. And my mom was buying something at the grocery store. And it was, somewhere around 6 o'clock at night. I can't remember. But anyway, I walked out with it. And while we were walking out to the car, I said, Mom, look what I got. It was killing me. I took this car. It was killing me. I wanted my mom to know. I took this car. And she said, you turn right around and go right back. She made me go to the manager and tell the manager that I had taken this car without paying for it. And I am really sorry. And I'm telling you, I never wanted to touch another Hot Wheels car again. But here's the thing. God honors and wants to honor those who honor him. And I did not, listen, it is not our nature. What is one of the first words a young child learns besides mom and dad? Mine. I'm sure I've learned that word too very shortly after mom and dad. But mine, it's mine. And that's our nature. And so God has to do a work in our lives to get us to see things differently. And then there's a process as we trust the Lord. And the Lord, remember, the Lord's the one that said, do good to those who do bad to you. And the Lord's the one that said it's better to give than to receive. That's not in the nature of mankind. That's in the heart and mind of the Lord. And by the way, he did it by example. The Lord came to serve. He should have been brought forth into this world from eternity past into the world in royalty. He deserved that, but he came as a servant. And so notice what happens here. He says again in verse 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, listen to this, the Lord be with you. Question, do you think Boaz meant that when he said that to his reapers? Do you think there was a heartfelt, or you know what, I'm a Christian, God bless you, the Lord be, that's what he's saying. When he says the Lord be with you, he's saying the Lord bless your way. But he was concerned about them, and notice the reply also. And they answered, the reapers answered in verse 4, the Lord bless thee. And that's what's being said. When he said the Lord be with you, he's saying the Lord bless you. And so there was a working relationship that Boaz had with his heavenly Father, and also a compassion that can only come from the Lord to be really concerned about others. I'm sure. Listen, it's one thing to pay somebody well for working for you, but it's another thing to be concerned about their welfare. In other words, that you would fare well and that you would have the greatest blessing of all. And that is, of course, the blessing of God. Then they said, verse 5, then said Boaz unto his servant, speaking to one at this time, that was set over the reapers, the head honcho, whose damsel is this? Boaz took notice of Ruth. And I think there was something caught his eye. He didn't know. Now, by the way, you're going to see he heard about Ruth. Because, listen, when they came back to their hometown, remember, they all gathered around Naomi, and they said, is this Naomi? And she says, don't call me Naomi. They knew, and some time had lapsed here, where they picked up on what Ruth was really all about, and her love for Naomi. So he says, whose damsel is this? Verse 6, and the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, this is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And so, listen, they know that the Moabites did not treat Israel very friendly. They were ungodly people. But see, listen, the testimony of Ruth went before her. And I don't believe they're saying this. I don't believe they're saying, you know, she's the Moabitess. I don't think they're saying that in a negative way at all. They were just stating the fact, this is where she's from. This is who, in fact, specifically, this is the Moabite woman, amen, that came back with Naomi, and she had a good reputation before her. Verse 7, and she said, this is what, listen, and she said, Ruth, the Moabitess, she said, I pray you, humble, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now that she tarried a little in the house. So she refreshed herself just a little bit and she went out there and she was working. And so this got Boaz's attention, and this is all part of God's plan. And notice what he says here in verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. So question, he was just talking with his servant. And as he's thinking about that, where's he headed? He's going over to Ruth. He's walking over, and then he stands in front of Ruth, and he says unto her, he says, hearest thou not, my daughter? He says, go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. You stay by the ladies that are working here with me. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then notice, now to watch this, and again, this is insight here that was given by the Lord. He's working in Boaz's heart and mind to be benevolent here to Ruth. And so he says, I don't want you to go anywhere else, and you don't even have to draw water for yourself. You get the water that was drawn already. Verse 10, then she fell on her face. She didn't say, you know what, I deserve this. I left my hometown. I'm putting up with my mother-in-law. I don't think that's the kind of relationship she had. Amen. I believe there was a good relationship. Listen, no doubt she wanted to be with Naomi, her mother-in-law, didn't she? And so she didn't say, I deserve this. She said this, listen. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? That thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger. Now, it took a process to be incorporated. She married a Hebrew, of course, and that brought her into the lineage. But she was accepted, wasn't she? God saw to that. But here's what she saw. She saw, you know what? Who am I that I would deserve this kind of treatment? You know, who are we really that we deserve? Have you ever stopped to think about this? How many third world, there's like changes, right? So we lose a country somewhere throughout the world. We gain a country. But there's somewhere around 190 some odd countries in the world that are known. Most of them, a lot of them are third world countries. I mean, a five-star, high-star rated hotel in some of these foreign countries, it's not because they've got internet, it's because maybe they've got a bathroom at the end of the hall somewhere. I mean, you can go to some really remote countries, and five-star rating there is not five-star rating here. And here's the thought, why have you and I been privileged to live in this kind of a country? Where when we're hungry, there's a McDonald's down the road. There are people that are looking every day for their food. We could have been born in one of those countries, could we not? And yet, you know what? If we're not careful, we take things for granted. We talked about prizing things in the Sunday school hour. The thought came to my mind when we were talking about, you know, taking pride in keeping our houses clean or keeping the things that we've been given in good shape. I had some friends that were given cars when they turned 16. I didn't get one. my dad said, you want one, you work, and you get one. And you know what I did? I went and got a job, and I worked, and I got one. And you know what I did? I cleaned it and washed it. Because I put money into it, and it was my time. And my friends' cars, they would loan them out to whoever. You know how many times? I had one or two friends I would trust with my car. And even they, I don't even know, maybe once or twice they drove my car. Because I had responsibility. I cared about that vehicle. It took me from point A to point B, and I knew that an accident, and then I would be without a vehicle, and worse yet, somebody hurt out of that whole deal. But here's the thing: do we really appreciate all that we've been given, or do we think we have a mentality today in society that it's called an entitlement mentality? We're entitled to certain things. Show me where that comes from. That's made up in the mind of man. We don't deserve anything, but an existence, and then the opportunity to work and do something. I think sometimes people count, and I'm not saying, listen, if people are injured and they have hardships, and we do live in a nation that is benevolent and does seek to help out its citizens when they need it, I'm not opposed to that. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, we think that, well, we're owed that. And we're not. We're not owed it. We're blessed, amen, as a nation, to live in this country and to have all these things that are given to us. So he tells her, he says, I don't want you to go anywhere else. She says, I'm a stranger and you're treating me like this. And and notice here in verses 11 and 12, God gives a revelation with the reward. And Boaz said unto her, it hath fully been shown me. You see this? He's seen this. All that thou hast done. It's obviously quite a lot. He didn't number them. All that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of... Did you hear this? Since the death of... Not since you got here, but it has fully been... The account has been told me all that you've done since your husband died back when you were in Moab. He said he was impressed with this. He was moved by this. Since the death of thine husband and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother. Orpah didn't do that. She went back to her mother and father. And the land of thy nativity and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. You know, that takes faith, doesn't it? You don't have no idea what kind of people they are. You're going to another culture. To me, these missionaries that go to another country, there's an adjustment. And you got to get used to things that are quite different. They do things differently. Verse 12, the Lord recompense thy work. Did you see what Boaz is saying? The Lord bless you for what you did. The Lord recompense thy work. Listen, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to what? You've come to trust. You put your faith. You put your faith in him. Do you know God says he will bless anybody who trusts him? And everybody. The Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. That means he doesn't care if you're rich or you're poor. He'll accept you. And by the way, his son came as a poor person, didn't he? And then look at verse 13 here. And again, this is God's work and will, really, for those that want to wait upon the Lord. Verse 13 says this, then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, listen to this, so now it's time for, I don't know what time the mealtime was for them. You know, we might make the assumption it's lunch. I don't know. I don't know what time it was. But anyway, it's at mealtime. He comes and says to her, come thou hither. Come here. I want you to come here and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and he reached her parched corn and she did eat. And notice what? And was sufficed and left. So she had eaten enough. There was plenty that was given to her to where she was satisfied. And you're going to see what she did with that part that she took some with her because she was thinking of her mother-in-law. And this is really amazing. So fathom this thought. I don't think Boaz knew, but God was working, and God was working in Boaz's life to be a blessing to Ruth. But I don't think he knew he was going to meet his future wife that day. I don't think Ruth knew she was going to meet her future husband that day. But how did that all come together? Well, because they got on swipe right or swipe left. No. No, they trusted in the Lord.
Amen.
They trusted in the Lord. And I'm not against the modern technology and all that stuff. But there's something that God does for those people that put their faith and trust. He never forsakes them. He never forgets about them. And so here she is, and he says, hey, come and be satisfied. And notice what happens here. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, she's going back to work. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, that which was already harvested, and reproach her not. And let fall also, drop some on purpose, and let some fall also, some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Now, I don't know if she saw them do it. I would tend to think that she didn't see it, and she saw, wow. And where do you think this is all coming from? Who is she giving credit to? The God of heaven.
Amen.
The God of, and by the way, who was orchestrating? God, listen, because Boaz was yielded, he had a heart for Ruth to be a blessing. What was it that really moved him? We're not told what she looked like, that she was really attractive, or was she, you know, not so attractive, or whatever the case was. He was moved by what she was doing. Do you know that the value of a human soul is more important than the exteriors of a human body? Do you know that God doesn't care about what we look like? What he really cares about is our soul, because it's eternal. You know, the world puts value on exteriors. But how many of us know those exteriors are gone? They come and go. And you know what the greatest value is? The heart of man, the soul, the individual, the person. And so he sees this, and he cares for her. And notice what happens. Verse 17, so she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out of that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And so this is about 8 or 9 gallons. And so that's quite a lot of food there. And she took it up and went into the city. Listen, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Where did she go? When she was done work, where did she go? She went to her mother-in-law. She didn't just go run around, and you know, she went to go take care of business for her mother-in-law. She had her mother-in-law on her mind. And she brought forth and gave her, listen to this, and she gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. Remember that? When she ate, she took some food for her mother-in-law. See, she was not just concerned about herself, was she? Me and mine. She had compassion and cared. This is what God does in the life of those who will seek him. He allows us to really see the value of things. What is the thing of greatest value in our lifetime? Is it not relationships? Material things come and go. But our first of all, of course, our relationship to our God.
Amen.
Our relationship with our families. And with our friends, because that's the only thing really that has really anything worth having. Because, you know, new trinkets and toys and things like that, they come and go. But people, really, we have an opportunity to have a lifetime of a blessing as we yield to the Lord and allow the Lord to work through us. And by the way, Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi are cultivating in the Lord a tremendous relationship. So she gives to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed, there at bottom of verse 18, and we've got a few more verses and we're done. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? The best news is yet to come. See, she has no clue. I think maybe she thought that Boaz cared for her a little bit, don't you? At least for her physical well-being. And I think she also knew that Boaz was taken by her willingness to give and what she has done and sacrificed for her mother-in-law. I mean, he was impressed by that. And I think Boaz saw the value in that, don't you? And I think Ruth saw the value in Boaz with his kindness. And so Her mother-in-law says to her, where have you gleaned today? In verse 19, and where wroughtest thou? Blessed is he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is, dun, 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 can you believe this? Boaz. And you know, she could have wound up anywhere. And by the way, it was customary. God had commanded the Israelites to leave the corners of the field so that the poor can come and glean. That was a commandment of the Lord, and they were faithful to do that, especially in this time. And by the way, they went through a famine. That's why Naomi and her husband left, because of the famine. But now they heard that God was blessing, and they came back. And Naomi, verse 20, said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed is he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Who's she thinking about? Her sons and her husband. And Naomi said, and by the way, and Naomi was concerned about Ruth. You remember when they were coming back in chapter 1, she was saying, please don't come. I don't have any more children to give you husbands. Listen, Naomi cared about both of her daughters-in-law, that they would get, they were young enough, get married again and have a family. They didn't have families. Who would have thought God would have done it just like that to bring his son into the world? And they had a heart that God was pointing and working in and making it like his. And so she says, oh, listen, Naomi said, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, this man is near kin unto us of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. So there was still more harvest to happen. And she was saying, you know what? He invited me to come back. And notice what she says. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Stick right there. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest, and notice, end of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Do you know, fathom this thought, God used that whole scenario. Now, did Naomi have a big loss? Did she lose her husband? Did she lose both of her sons? You think she had heartache? And she thought, you know, God's done with me. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. The Lord has brought all this bitterness into my life. And it was. But she never turned her back on the Lord. And by the way, do you think she was a little encouraged when Ruth said, "Don't ask me to leave you"? Look how God works. You know, God is amazing. And fathom this thought. All through this family came David. You remember David? What happened to David? Remember when Saul had rejected the Lord, that's who he rejected, disobeyed the Lord and rejected him, and God sent Samuel the prophet to anoint the next king. You remember how that took place? Jesse, David's father, was the first one to meet Samuel. He said, man, we're in trouble now because, you know, we know that Saul's upset and he could have us killed. Jesse, they say to Samuel, do you come peaceably? He says, peaceably. I've come to make a sacrifice, an offering. Really, he was coming to anoint the next king, but he wanted to kind of make things so that they were at ease. And you remember the sons, all of the sons of Jesse, but one, were presented before him. And the Lord said, the first one, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said, don't look at the outside. I look at the heart. And then so all of them went through and none of them. And Samuel says to Jesse, God has chosen none of these. Do you have any other children? Yeah, we got one more, the lowly shepherd, David. And they call him in, and he says, the Lord's anointed, doesn't he? And he anoints him to be the next king. And then from then on, David said, okay, fellas, to the big brothers, serve me. No, you know what he did? He went right back out into the sheepfold until Goliath showed up. And then he was serving his father, and God called him to go out there through his father, to take care of the brothers, And God told him, you're going to fight Goliath, when he was out there, when he saw that. And we know the story. Now, listen, these are not perfect men, but they're men who have been influenced by the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Do you know God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He never changes. And God says, not just to fathers, but to mothers, if you will trust me, there's a, you know, look at Ruth. She was a godly mother. And Naomi, by the way, they trusted in the Lord, same way. Do you know, if we will honor the Lord, we will have the best life possible. But there's one thing that needs to take place in order for that to happen, and that is we have to die to self. And the truth of the matter is, we don't even know how that happens, but if we ask God to do it for us, He will allow us. It's not a bad thing to humbly walk with the Lord. It's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. And God says, you know, if you will call upon me, I will, without a doubt, show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You want to have the best life possible? It's a relationship with God. Amen? It's a relationship with God. So wherever you're at, if you know the Lord and want to draw near, God's on board with that. If you don't know the Lord and want to trust Him for the first time, God's definitely all for that. He gave us His Son. He would not deny a single soul. So whatever the need might be, it's between you and the Lord. The invitation is His. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before Your throne thanking You, Lord, for the blessings that You bring into our lives as mothers, as fathers, and as children, Lord. How faithful You are. You never leave us nor forsake us. And You truly, Lord, are in every situation working for Your glory and our blessing. May You instill that in our hearts and minds, that we might humbly walk before You and that the world might see the difference that You make in our lives. Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.